angry GM, apparently. And I don't know why I started with that, but it's been a while since I did one of these proofread alouds due to illness and technical recording issues. And hopefully this recording is going to go smooth and I've got things ironed out now. I'm just going to jump right in and pretend I remember how to do this. So I'm proofreading aloud an article that I'm going to publish today. So the proofread aloud will probably come out a couple of days later. So if you're not listening to this live and you're listening to the recording, well, the article's already up. So I didn't need to say that either. But anyway, here we go. The article's called "We Don't Need Failure States After All." It's bullshit time again. The other day, I watched a video published on YouTube by Adam Millard, Architect of Games, and he's recently become my favorite video game designer commentator on YouTube. Video game design commentator. And he's recently become my favorite video game design commentator on YouTube. That's right, he even replaced Game Maker's Toolkit. Sadly, GMTK has been kind of hit or miss after his peak with Boss Keys, but I digress. So I watched this video, and I've now watched it 3 times through because my mind became a swirling miasma of scintillating thoughts and turgid ideas, to quote a certain psychopathic cartoon legomorph. Once the literal brainstorm quelled, sometime after my second viewing, I found that I had a totally different perspective on something lots of gamers have been fighting about for years. Today, I'm going to turn the fight about failure states in RPGs entirely on its head, because we've all had it wrong for lots of years. All of us. Even me. And especially you. Designed to Fail: Failure and Loss in Game Design. So, there's this channel on YouTube called... Hold on, I have a broken HTML tag here that I gotta fix for a link. Boop, boop, boop. That's the sound effect of pasting, by the way. That means I pasted something. There we go. Save. Okay. Designed to Fail: Failure and Loss in Game Design. So there's this channel on YouTube called Adam Millard, Architect of Games. The titular Adam provides amazing game design analysis and critique, and the other day he posted a video called "Why Video Games Want You to Fail." Unsurprisingly, the video was about how game designers handle failure and loss in video games. He talked about why loss and failure are important and why it's important to handle them just right. I'm going to embed the video below because I think it's worth watching, and because it'll provide some context and background for the bullshit I'm about to spew. But I don't think his video is useful for TTRPG designers and game masters. I don't think his argument applies to the TTRPG game space. So why did I watch it 3 effing times? Why am I sharing it? Why am I devoting thousands of words to it? First, because the shit he says is exactly... Whoops, there's an extra word in there. First, because the shit he says exactly echoes the shit lots of... Ah, Jesus, Biscuit! I mean... Hold, please. So, why did I watch it 3 effing times? Why am I sharing it? Why am I devoting thousands of words to it? First, because the shit he says exactly echoes the shit lots of us in the TTRPG space have been saying for years. And I forgot the word. Shit we keep saying. Yes, we. I've said it all myself. Most of it, anyway. That's why I warned you against watching the video. If you watch it, you're gonna think it's brilliant. Wow, you'll say. Those sure are some great ideas, and we should apply them to TTRPGs immediately. But the second reason I'm sharing the video, and writing a 3,000-word essay about it, is because hearing Adam Millard, Architect of Games, say all those things, which, by the way, are perfectly clever, logical, correct things to say about video games, hearing Adam Millard, Architect of Games, spew the same pissing and moaning about death and loss and failure that GMs have been spewing for decades made me realize just how stupid it all sounded when applied to RPGs. This one's gonna be a roller coaster, but ride it out with me, okay? I promise it'll all make sense in the end, and it'll give you permission to stop worrying about death and loss and failure in TTRPGs. Because it turns out, we don't actually need that shit. We've got something better. Anyway, here's that video I told you about. Watch it if you have time. It's good. But if you can't watch it, no biggie, the article will still make sense. Stories Losers Tell, the Standard RPG Failure Narrative. Over the past several decades, there's been a lot of talk in the online TTRPG space about failure, loss, and death in role-playing games. Most of it's been messy, complicated, confused, and loaded with nonsensical bullshit conclusions. Trust me, I know all about these conversations because I've been there. I've put forth my own arguments, started my own threads, and called out lots of nonsensical bullshit. Bullshit like fail forward and make failure more fun than success. Gradually, there emerged a standard set of talking points, or maybe I should call them pissing and moaning points, about failure, loss, and death in D&D and other TTRPGs. A kind of shared narrative about how role-playing games handle that shit, or fail to. And I'm going to distill it all down to its essence. If you've ever talked about failure, loss, and death as game design ideas in role-playing games, you've heard, or said, something like this. Role-playing games need failure and loss. Players can't win every challenge, no matter what. But losing isn't fun, and players don't like it. So failure has got to exist, but it's got to be fun. At least as fun as succeeding. Maybe more fun, even though that's an utterly moronic idea. Moreover, failure can't be a total bottleneck. A single failure can't, or shouldn't, ruin the whole game. Whatever the F that means. And failure can't be punishing, either. The problem with role-playing games, especially D&D, but especially lots of other role-playing games, is that they really only have one failure state, death. And death is a bad failure state. The worst failure state. And maybe it shouldn't even be possible, because death makes players sad, and besides, unexpected random deaths ruin stories, and also character generation takes a long time. So obviously, D&D and its cousins need to be better, need more better failure states than just death, and those should be built right into the systems, even though neither I nor anyone else can explain just what the F that would actually look like. That's it. Every conversation about failure, loss, and death in role-playing games ever. More or less. With some editorializing, of course, because I'm me, and editorializing is fun. That video I mentioned above by Adam Millard, it analyzed failure, loss, and death in video games from a game design perspective, and it was very compelling, and I found myself nodding along, because it basically echoed, or at least justified, every conversation ever about failure in role-playing games. It argued that failure and loss are necessary, even vital gameplay elements, but they've got to add to the experience, not detract from it. Except what Adam Millard proved without ever even arguing it is that none of that shit really applies to role-playing games at all. Tabletop role-playing games. I'm not reading... I use the abbreviation TTRPG. I'm not reading it aloud every time, so I'm saying role-playing games, but it is important to point out that I mean tabletop role-playing games, not computer role-playing games. So anyway... Except... What Adam Millard proved without ever arguing it is that none of that shit really applies to tabletop role-playing games at all. That whole narrative? It's a bunch of useless bullshit. We don't need it. We're better off without it. Making asses of ourselves. The missing assumptions in the failure narrative. So there I was listening to Millard and nodding along. Yep. I said, we have exactly the same problem in the tabletop role-playing game space. I sure can't wait until you put forth an elegant solution so I can port it into the tabletop role-playing game space and take all the credit for once again revolutionizing all of my readers' games. But the longer I listened, the more I realized something was off. Not in his arguments, but in the narrative I had in my head about failure in role-playing games. And I'm not referring to the snarky editorial bits. I mean the narrative itself was based on a lot of assumptions, and it glossed over a lot of important distinctions. Is there a difference between a failure and a loss? How are we even defining failure? Are some failures okay and others not? Why? Is there a difference between failing an action and failing an encounter and failing an adventure and failing a campaign? What's the difference? If there is, and there are, what kind of failure are we talking about when we demand D&D provide us better failure states? When we talk about death, do we mean character death in general, or are we talking strictly about TPKs? Are character deaths really failure states? Why is bottlenecking bad? Why is it bad for an adventure to fail as the result of a failed action? Isn't that always how it's going to work? Doesn't every adventure fail ultimately because of one failed action? Too many. There's always a last failure. Isn't it kind of like losing your last hit point? What would a failed adventure look like if that failure wasn't the result of one failed action too many? And would it even be possible to quantify something like that given the emergent and holistic nature of narrative-driven games? Round and round went my brain, picking at the narrative one detail at a time. I probed every crack, demanding answers of myself, and then demanding justifications for the answers. How do I know that? Why do I think that? If that, then what about this? Is that true? Why? What's the difference? I've covered a lot of that ground before. I've written about failure in the past a lot, about how adventures and campaigns and encounters have to be losable, and how failure must always be an option. But must it? If you can't lose, why try? Why failure matters in tabletop role-playing games? Maybe. The whole failure narrative above is predicated on one simple assumption: that any tabletop role-playing game must include the possibility of failure. And that assumption comes literally from the TTRPG acronym itself. A role-playing game is a game of choice, right? If the players ain't making choices, not just decisions, but actual effing choices, if the players ain't making choices, they ain't role-playing. And that means they ain't playing a TTRPG, they're just playing a TTG. See, role-playing's about playing a role, right? That's why we call it role-playing. Every character, and every real human, is ultimately defined by how they resolve internal conflicts. When the character's got conflicting goals or values or ideas or desires, how do they pick the more important one? That's what makes a character who they are, whether they're fictional puppets or real human boys. Underlying role-playing games is the idea that these choices matter. They've got stakes. They've got consequences. If a character can't actually die, the character's willingness to risk his life for his beliefs doesn't mean jack shit. If you never have to give up the thing you don't choose, if the choice doesn't cost you anything, you're just choosing all of the above. You can stay true to the values and live. Lucky you. You can stay true to your values and live. Lucky you. It's costs and risks and consequences that give choices their meaning. If the characters can make whatever choices they want without ever stressing how shit might turn out or what they might have to live with as a result, the characters lose their humanity, and the game becomes a sure bet. So whether it's the RP part or the G part of the RPG you care about, you're shit out of luck. That's how it be. No risks, no costs, no consequences, no RP and no G, so no RPG. And while you can have fun with that shit for a little while, you can't really care about it for long. And it's on that basis that GMs in the online RPG space, me included, argue that failure must be an option. Don't go hollow. What video games can't teach about failure in role-playing games. I realize my reading is a little off and I apologize. I'm okay. But I am sorry. I know my reading is kind of crappy and stilted today. Anyway, don't go hollow. What video games can't teach about failure in tabletop role-playing games. Right. Let's switch back to video games for a minute. For a lot of years, I've argued that RPG game masters and designers can learn from video games. Hell, I personally think video games are the single best medium to study if you want to get good at game mastery. Better than books and movies, better than board games. Often better than the effing GMing guides ostensibly published to teach people how to run games. Often, but not always. And in this case, The Case of Failure and Loss and Death in Game Design, I don't think video games are the right thing to learn from. Video games have a complex and tempestuous relationship with failure. I love the word tempestuous as a side note. It is so fun to say. Video games have a complex and tempestuous relationship with failure, one that's usually oversimplified and misunderstood. For instance, lots of idiots claim video games only include failure and death because arcade cabinets used to charge you for every attempt you made to win. That's based on truth, but it ain't true. Want proof? First, games existed before video games, and you could lose at those ones too. And second, video games have evolved away from life counters and game over screens, mostly, but they haven't dumped failure or death. But you know what's interesting about death and failure in video games? It's that, however they work in any given game, failure and death don't lead to real, permanent failure. You never really lose a video game. Not anymore. And even when you did, when game over screens were a thing, the game didn't explode or kill you for real or anything. You just hit the reset button or dropped another quarter and tried again. You only really lost the game when you gave up. And until you did give up, there was a path to victory. Usually, it was, you know, playing again armed with the skill and foreknowledge that each previous attempt granted. But that ain't how tabletop role-playing games work. So when we talk about failure in role-playing games, what are we talking about? Really? What do we really want? Do we want points in an adventure beyond which the players just can't succeed? Beyond which the princess can't be rescued, or the treasure can't be found, or the world can't be saved? A real honest-to-Gygax game over screen? Do we want to say, well, you fucked up that campaign royally, grab some character sheets and let's see if you can win the next one? Maybe. I've done that shit myself. Sorry, ding-dongs, I've said. I wasn't kidding when I said the world was hanging in the balance. You blew it. The world is gone. And in the end, that's just a different kind of TPK, isn't it? Sorry, you're all dead. There's no way to continue the game. Closest we can get is a new game in the same continuity with new characters to pick up the torch you losers dropped. If we're going to figure out failure and loss in tabletop role-playing games, we've got to figure this shit out for ourselves. Because the video game model doesn't work. The one where you fail and die, but get to respawn or reload and try again. Or, failing that, exit to the menu, select new game, and give it another go. Though, maybe, there is a kind of video game model that works. And maybe we've got it already. Picking the right model. What video games can teach about failure in role-playing games. That Adam Millard video starts with this anecdote about failure, or about not failing. He and his buds were playing this sci-fi sandbox survival thing called Space Engineers. That's an original effing name, huh? Anyway, Millard and company had crashed their awesome spaceship and stranded themselves. Rather than giving up and starting over, they kept playing. They turned their ship into a surface base, plundered the local environment for materials, and eventually saved themselves. And Millard points out this kind of emergent story shit is a hallmark of open-world survival-y, simulator-y, colony-build-y games like Dwarf Fortress and Rimworld and shit like that. The thing about games like those is that while you can quit whenever you want, you usually can't reload a previous save or respawn or try an individual challenge again. If you fuck up, you've got to live with that fuck up. You've got to salvage the bits of the SS dumbass and start hunting dilithium and boar spleens to build a new drive core. Now, I should point out that most such games don't usually have an explicit win state. There's no end goal built into the game. And if there is, the game's all wishy-washy and laissez-faire about it. You can try to reach center of the galaxy if you want, but hey, if you just want to make the coolest ship you can and then point it toward the farthest star, that's cool too. Whatever. And maybe that's important, but I don't think it is. What's important is that those open-world survival and simulator and And maybe that's important, but I don't think it is. What's important is that those open world survival and simulator and colony management games share two vitally important characteristics with tabletop role-playing games: persistent continuity and memory. In a TTRPG, the game's events form a consistent narrative, right? Every session and every adventure follows from the last. RPGs aren't like board games where each session represents a distinct and isolated attempt to win. They're about building a continuous narrative, one session at a time. Moreover, when something happens in a TTRPG, the event becomes part of the game's history. Shit that happened last week, last month, last year? The game remembers that shit, and so do the imaginary characters that live in the game's world. Thus, tabletop role-playing games play out in worlds that react to every action and evolve. If the princess died last week, the world doesn't have that princess anymore. She's gone. And if some cult killed her to free a demon prince, the world's got a demon prince running around in it. And if the dumbass players crash their spaceship, they can't reload or try again. They're stuck. And they have to deal with that shit. Or quit. And if a character died in the crash, well, the party's got to get along without his skills and talents. But maybe they'll meet some other crash survivor to fill out their roster. And that combination of elements, persistent continuity and memory, that shit changes the whole failure discussion. The broken narrative. RPGs don't need failure. Let's go back to that standard failure narrative thing. It starts with, actions must have consequences, therefore, failure must be an option. The first line? That's definitely true. It's a role-playing game axiom. Actions must have consequences. But does it logically follow that failure must be an option? Is that the only way to ensure actions have consequences? As established, role-playing games have these persistent continuity and memory things, right? At least they should. It's the GM's job to keep the clock running forward, maintain unbroken continuity, and ensure the game world's history continues to have happened as it did. Doesn't that ensure that actions in role-playing games do have consequences? They might not always be big or far-reaching, but they're there. The consequence of a character face-tanking a trap is that they recover some treasure and buy a slightly better sword. That ain't much. But sometimes the consequences are way bigger. When the PCs save a village from a dragon, the world remembers that shit, and it should act accordingly. The villagers should be grateful. The kobolds should hunt the PCs so they can harvest the hero's blood for use in a ritual to resurrect their fallen god. That's how this shit works. And beyond a few tracking tools that make it easier for the GM to manage some of the more common consequences, like enmity or reputation or some shit like that, this crap can't be modeled at the system level. It's not something you can do with rules. Why? Because there's an infinity of things the players might do, and therefore, there's an infinite possibility space for consequences. Figuring out after each session how the world's different and what happens next? The system can't do that shit. That's why GMs exist. But the real kicker here is that if you do all this shit right, if you keep the clock running and remember the world's history and all that crap, then maybe it doesn't matter if the players can't lose an adventure or a campaign. Because the world evolves, everything the players do matters. Whatever's happening in your game today, it follows from everything that happened before. And if everything matters, then you don't need to go out of your way to make certain things matter. They already do. In my last adventure, the heroes went into a haunted forest and appeased a spirit by killing a savage that was despoiling its domain. They also met a woman who'd gone blind because the forest was all haunted and despoiled and shit. And they also met a guy who was accused, possibly falsely, of arson. The heroes won. They killed the savage, appeased the spirit, and undespoiled the forest. Huzzah and forsooth, hail the conquering heroes. But the truth is, they really couldn't lose. The adventure was straightforward as hell, NPCs led them into the forest and pointed them to the spirit's domain. And when the heroes got there, it was pretty clear what had the forest spirits all hot and bothered. Short of dying in battle or just giving up and walking away, the players couldn't lose. All right, recording again, unpaused. Okay. The heroes won. They killed the savage, appeased the spirit, and undespoiled the forest. Huzzah and forsooth, hail the conquering heroes! But the truth is, they really couldn't lose. The adventure was straightforward as hell. NPCs led them into the forest and pointed them to the spirit's domain. And when the heroes got there, it was pretty clear what had the forest spirits all hot and bothered. Short of dying in battle or just giving up and walking away, the players couldn't lose. But the heroes also had to put a blind woman in elder care. Sort of, because she couldn't live in the dangerous forest on her own anymore. Not blind as she was. And they didn't dig into the arson case. Those aren't failures, they're just things that cross the PC's paths. Shit in the world. Might things have gone differently if the players had made different choices? Undoubtedly, that's how RPGs work. The point is, when the adventure was over, there was an arsonist in their hometown's jail and a blind herbalist down the street. That shit wasn't true last week. Some of it might have become true regardless of what the players did. The arsonist would probably have ended up in jail no matter what, but the herbalist probably would have died. I didn't build that shit into my adventure as failure states. They were just characters and stories for the players to see and interact with on the way to their pretty much predetermined success. I sure as hell didn't say, "How can this adventure fail without me killing everyone?" I just said, what shit is in the world on the way? What other stories exist alongside this one? And when the adventure was done, I said, okay, how are things different in the world now? I ain't saying you shouldn't include failure as a possibility. By all means, include it if you want to. I do, sometimes. Sometimes I don't. Hell, I usually don't sweat it one way or another. And that's what I'm saying. You don't need to sweat it either. And all the pissing and moaning about failure states in D&D is likely a waste of breath. Because the idea of systematic mechanical failure states in D&D, they're probably impossible, but they're also totally unnecessary. Provided, of course, the GM has a good memory or takes good notes. Alright, that's the end. So that's it. That's the proofread aloud. Sorry for the repeated distractions and also sorry for my terrible reading skills today. It's been a thing. And I don't know if next week's will actually get recorded or not. I'm working on things. But there we go. And then I'm going to click.